Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 82 of the Interviews Podcast. I missed it. I completely missed the blinking red light. But you know who didn't miss today? Inter. Five shots on target, five shots on goal. Better job than I did today. And we're here to discuss it all. Post-match reaction of Frosinone-Inter, which finishes 5-0 to the visitors. Goals from Davide Fratesi in the 19th, Marco Arnautovic in the 60th. A first goal for Tejan Buchanan in the 77th minute. Lautaro back on the score sheet after months in the 80th. And Thuram, prolific first season in Serie A, gets on the score sheet in the 84th minute. Inter takes the 3 points. We are on, let's see here. Let's pull up the official table. I don't even know the number we're on. We're on 92 points. I believe the record is Mancini's side with 97. Is that true?
No, I don't think so.
I could be tossing out false information, but I do know that with this win and two more wins, Inter could break this Inter side could break Mancini's record.
You're right. You were right. 97.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, everyone was pissed after the performance against Sassuolo. We shouldn't be throwing games away. For all the people that care about records, we had this conversation already. It's not that big of a deal, but for the people that care about records, you still have something to fight for. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by the great Gianni Paterno. Gianni, shit performance against Sassuolo, against Frosinone today. Obviously, the scoreline says that we dominated, but how did you feel from the guys today in a lineup that was much more rotated than what we've been used to? So initial thoughts on this Inter performance.
Yeah, I think the first half was a little bit flat. I think there was a lot of mistakes made by players that you don't expect to see those kinds of mistakes from. I'm talking specifically about Barella with some of his passes, and Di Marco as well had a few misplayed touches. And yeah, it was a little worrying. You know, I'll be honest, in the first start of things, Barella had two really poorly played balls. One of them could have led to a goal for Frosinone. But hey, but fortunately, we were able to weather the storm. You know, Frosinone do have things to play for. They're still in the relegation battle, so this was important for them. And we really had every reason to just mail it in. There was no reason to want to get this win. But you know what? The boys did still play fired up, still played as if there was something to prove and something to play for. And we saw that in the second half. So I was very, very happy with the change of things in the halves.
Yeah. Let's talk about this first half. Before we get into it, just the starting lineup here. So Sommer, De Vrij, Carlos Augusto, and Bissek in the back line. And then Darmian, Di Marco on the wings, Fratesi, Aslani, and Barella in the midfield. So Mkhitaryan finally gets some rest, and Arnautovic, Thuram up top. Any issues with the lineup that Inzaghi chose to go with today?
I think the only thing that I wanted to see, and I think most Interisti might agree, I won't say would, I'll say might agree with, I would have been seeing Buchanan from minute one. I think that's the only thing. You know, we would have just liked to have seen, but you know what? Other than that, and that's just really if I'm nitpicking, I was very happy with the selections today for sure.
Why do you think he's not going with Tejan from the first minute?
I don't know. I'm assuming maybe Julian has like a direct line to Simone's office and is trying to keep him off the pitch. It's the only thing that could make sense. But no, like I don't know. I really don't. I think that he just. I think he likes the versatility that Augusto brings, and you're able to, you know, play him up a little further. Then you're able to drop him back once you do bring on Buchanan. And I think that he likes that flexibility typically. I mean, I know we saw Di Marco play from minute one today, but I think that he would just rather rotate those two guys. And I mean, by those two, I mean Di Marco and Augusto. and then have the ability to still bring on Buchanan off the bench.
Yeah, I one of my favorite ever Hooyeon tweets came out today. He said that we should sell that bum Pavard for letting that Canadian score his first goal before him. Thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, an official response from Johnny.
I mean,
it's got to be a troll, that, right? Please tell me it's a troll.
I mean, I hope it is. I really do, because that might be top three worst things I've ever seen in an Inter fan tweet. If that was a serious tweet, I'm hoping he was just doing it for interactions. Although at this point, Hooyeon, why are you not verified? Because at least you can make money off these terrible takes. You know, now you're That's just true. Doing it for you're letting it pass by you for free. You're leaving money on the table. You know, you're like that rookie undrafted free agent who burst onto the scene, and then you're still signing for league minimum just to be nice or something. I don't know, but anyway, yeah, I hope that was a troll job.
Yeah, no, he's good at riling people up, and this is our official advice to you, Hooyeon. Go get that check. Let's get into this first half. 4 minutes in, Mazzitelli of Frosinone whips a right-footed strike towards the bottom right corner. Sommer gets down to push it behind. Might have been going wide, but that was the first sign of a hell of a game that Jan Sommer was about to have. The first of many saves, one of them in the first half particularly being brilliant. Another chance for Frosinone in the 12th minute. Reiner whips a corner into the middle, gets to Sule, returns it right back to Reiner, but looks to shoot and it doesn't go anywhere. 19 minutes into the game, we get a goal from Davide Fratesi. Good link up play. DiMarco cuts in, plays it off of Thuram, squares it across the box to an on rushing Davide Fratesi, who gets his knee to it. There was no handball. His arm was behind the knee, despite some of the people on Twitter trying to argue that it should have been chalked off. Davide does what he does best, which is get in the box and get on the end of things. What'd you think of that move to open up the scoring for Inter?
Yeah, you know, like I was watching that, and again, like watching certain things play out the way they had been. You know, it was a little concerning with the way the first half started, for sure. And I think up until that moment, it felt like we were a little bit on the back foot there. Then you see, you know, some great link-up play, great passes between, you know, you got Barella recovering the ball, playing it over to DiMarco. DiMarco plays a pretty pass to Thuram, and then Thuram eventually crosses it in to Fratesi, who scores. I mean, listen, the guy's great at getting into the box. He's great at finishing. That's never been a question. And even the way he was able to contort his body to make that save and make sure that it doesn't hit his hand. Fantastic play, really. So, yeah, man, hats off to him for that movement and finish. And very happy with that result of the goal, because, it felt like it was needed. It really did, to kind of calm the waters for this club. So, yeah, I'm very thrilled with the way that played out.
My biggest, it's great to see Fratesi score. With that goal, he actually tied his record for goals and contributions in a single season. He would go on to later break it, which is wild to say, because it's been a lot of minutes off the bench, and he's been the most productive he's ever been in his career. You know, part of that is being in a much better team that allows you to get those opportunities. And part of that is just like him playing to his strengths and doing what he does, and getting in the box, getting on the end of the ball on those balls. And it was good to see. Before we get into some of these other highlights in the first half, my biggest takeaway from the way that we were playing was definitely that we were trying to be a little flashy. There were a lot of balls. You mentioned that Barella let go or got away from him, like trying dangerous balls. Bisek tried some long balls that didn't quite work out. Arnautovic was, you know, whipping out the Rabona. He was, trying back heels and so forth. Did you get that sense too, that it was more so like the guys were out there trying to have fun as opposed to like locking into a super competitive situation?
You know, I don't know. I can see that side, though. I can see what you're saying. I definitely do think that they were trying to be a little fancy out there. And maybe it was them trying to be a little more relaxed and having fun with it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if that wasn't, I'm sure that wasn't really okayed by Inzaghi, if that was the, in fact, what they were doing. But, I'm okay with it. It didn't bother me as much as I thought it would, I guess. And maybe because, we already wrapped up the title. I just was like, yeah, you know what? Not a big deal. I'm good with it.
A few minutes later, Brescia Nini has possession on the edge of the box, switches it onto his left foot, rips a strike that's heading into the top corner, and Sommer makes an outstanding save, pushes it right over the bar. He is, we've dealt with, Onana last year, terrific keeper. Handanovic had some great years for Inter before eventually falling off. You've seen Julio Cesar, in your time watching Inter. Where does Sommer rank for you? It's only been one season, but it's been such a spectacular season that, like, I love watching him in net. The saves look spectacular. The comfortability and command of his area is tremendous. Like, is he up there with those other guys? Andanovic had a really long career. Onana was another outstanding 1 year with Inter. Have you thought through, like, where Sommer is ranking? Is he flying up the boards for you?
Are we looking at it in terms of this century we're taking the Inter keepers?
Let's do just your lifetime watching Inter.
Just my lifetime watching Inter.
You got Toldo in there.
So for me, I'm not even, although I did watch games with my dad when Paliuca was there, I don't really remember it. And although he's probably one of my favorite goalkeepers, just because I remember him at World Cup 94, I'm going to leave him out of this. Leave Peruzzi out of it. So yeah, let's go. Toldo, Julio Cesar, Handanovic, Onana.
Sommer.
So that's five. So for me, I'm going to go, Julio Cesar is number one. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's, I can't not have him number one. And I feel like the save on Leo Messi in the semis is enough for him to be number one for me. Not to mention all the titles and stuff that he won, but I'll go with him number one. Handanovic number two, because he was probably the best player we had during the banter era. And that's hard for me to do because of how much I love Tordone.
Heading to the exact same ranking that I have.
I think Toldo three, Sommer four, and then Onana five.
That's it. That's the right order because Julio Cesar is your
Yeah.
Julio Cesar is your triplete keeper.
Yeah.
Handanovic, the sheer, like, staying with us during the banter era and the sheer length of time that he was with us. Toldo, like, That's a throwback right there. Italy international as well. And then you have the two guys that were there for the shortest period of time. And I would rank Sommer over Onana simply for the fact that despite Onana being a huge reason we got to a Champions League final last year, we only won, two cups, the Coppa Italia and the Supercoppa. This year, we also won two cups, but the Scudetto weighs way more.
And his performance in the league, as much as I loved Onana, this is not a knock on Onana, but his performance in the league was not nearly as good as what Sommer's doing. And although coming out and leading to the attack, Onana's way better. He's obviously better with the ball at his feet. We're able to do a little bit more offensively. In terms of shot stopping, I'll take Sommer. And I said this in the summer, and I think you agreed too. Sommer over Onana in terms of shot stopping, not even a question.
Yeah, and that's been proven this year with the both goalkeepers' performances. No question about it. All right, another chance for Frosinone towards the end of the half. They end up hitting the bar. Chedira has possession in the box and just somehow gets past Bisek and in front of the Vrij, and Sommer can only watch it fly past them and hit the bar. So a bit of a shaky end to the half, but Inter goes into the break 1-0. Coming out of the break, going into the second half, which was very, very a fun half of football, one of the more fun halves we've had this year. I think Inzaghi's thinking is, I'm going to reward their professionalism from this player who came back from injury, continued to train. Although he's leaving us, give him the courtesy of some minutes off on the pitch. Juan Cuadrado comes in for Matteo Darmian. Thoughts on the thinking there? Because for me, no reason to have seen him for the rest of the year. And we've talked about this in the past. When you saw him, you know, standing on the edge of the pitch, ready to come on for Darmian, what were your thoughts there?
Yeah, my thoughts were immediately, why? Like, why? And I get what you just said and the reasoning behind that, and that's probably exactly what went into it. But you know he's leaving in the summer. You know he's not being re-signed. You know he's not being kept. Just let Tejan come on. I don't get it. And then if you want to bring him on a little bit later and then move Tejan to the left, the whole thing is we thought he was signed to be a right wing back, and maybe Inzaghi sees him differently, and obviously we'll get into what happened later on. That might be a reason as to why it happened, you know, with him being played on the left. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not happy with what I saw from his play today, Cuadrado. Are we able to dive in? I don't want to get ahead of you.
Almost instantly, he gifts possession to Frosinone, cuts inside, and is just not paying attention to a man on him, just completely gives the ball away to, who was it? Zortea. No, was it Zortea? Yeah, gives the ball away, Zortea. Hold on, what? I can't even read this highlight correctly. Anyway, he gave the ball away to someone who took a shot off on goal, and Sommer had to push it away. So just instantly, not doing well. He ended up putting the ball into the box that eventually fell to Lautaro, and he scored. But it wasn't a good cross. Like it was cleared. And
the cross that he shot like 50 feet straight into the air?
Yeah, not good.
That was one of the worst crosses I've ever seen in my life.
Not good. I don't need to see him anymore.
No, I never need to see him on the pitch. I never need to see him on the pitch. Like,
gave him his minutes, but
thank you for your service for the rest of the year, which wasn't even much. But
yeah,
see you later.
Yeah, in the 58th minute, we get a corner that goes to Bisek. Bisek heads it right into the bar. Should have probably had a goal there. Unlucky, but a player that played well. In the 60th minute, Arnautovic scores. But I like it's a pass from Cuadrado, and like he has eyes in the back of his head, plays through Fratesi, who's making a run into the box, cuts it back to Arnautovic. The easiest goal that Arnautovic is going to score in his career, although we've said that a few times this year, and he didn't end up scoring. So Arnautovic gets on the score sheet. What did you think of the Austrian today? I thought he had some fun out there. I thought it was one of his better performances in an Inter shirt. Probably not up to the level that would convince anyone that he should be the fourth striker next year. But what did you think of Marco today?
Yeah, I would agree that this was probably his best performance. I thought he moved well off the ball. I thought his link-up play was okay. Like, I mean, better than what we've seen recently from him. And I've got zero complaints really with his performance. I would be willing to listen to an argument for him being man of the match. We'll talk about that later too, but I think a solid, I don't know, 7.8 out of 10 from him today.
Yeah, I think he did everything that he needed to do. Again, it's not going to convince Interisti that he should continue to be part of the team next year, but they should prepare themselves for that possibility because, Correa is coming back. You have Arnautovic. Both of those contracts are expiring in 2025. Who knows if anyone's going to put in any bids? And they need money to replace those players. So who knows if that's going to happen? 77th minute, Tejon Buchanan, the Canadian, gets the ball on the edge, the left-hand side of the box, shifts possession really coolly onto his right foot, and rifles a strike into the bottom right-hand corner. You love to see it. You love to see it. We can keep hearing, bust this, bust that. It's been said before that you're not going to be able to judge Tejon on this season because he wasn't going to get a lot of minutes, but you feel like that goal has been coming for him because he's been dangerous each and every appearance. Happy to see Tejon on the score sheet. Does it change how you feel about the player now that he's finally got a goal contribution in his bag? Because the crossing hasn't been great. The willingness to take on players has been good, but this is something else from his locker that we needed to see in order to feel better. How are you feeling about the Canadian right now?
I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. First of all, he wears the number 17, which is arguably the best number you could see on a soccer pitch. There was this legendary soccer player. I won't go into details, but he's from Long Island. He used to wear number 17 on his back. So the respect that Tejon Buchanan is paying to this Long Island legend is beautiful. It's beautiful stuff. So that's, you know, a feather in his cap from me. And then the pace was phenomenal. His ability to cut onto his right foot. And that's what I wanted to get into. I think that might be why Inzaghi is playing him on the left, even though the crossing isn't there. It's because he's able to take those shots from distance and is able to curl him. And it gives you really another layer of attacking ability from that side, which is awesome. You know, you already have Di Marco who can whip him in with his left, and now you have a guy who can shoot him from the left on his right foot. That could very well be why he's being played there. But I loved it. I loved what I saw. You know, and it felt like a weight was lifted for sure from him when he took that shot and scored. And you could see the smile on his face.
Yeah. Huh? He was definitely excited. You could tell. Yeah. He was, you know.
Yeah, he was thrilled. His teammates were thrilled for him. I don't know if you saw Marcus Thuram's post literally right after the game. I mean, that's awesome, man. You know, you're hyping up this kid. I'm sure it's not easy for him to integrate to Italian football coming from the Belgian league, being Canadian, not really speaking the language. You know, some of these guys are obviously well-traveled and they probably were able to pick up on Italian easily. I don't know what Tejon's case, but it seems to be he's well-liked and well-received by his teammates, and very happy for him.
I think that's a really good analysis of why he's on the left, because if Inzaghi sees that he can beat his man on the right, but he can't cross, then it does allow him to be at his most dangerous if he can do that on the left by shifting onto his right. And even if the shooting is not great, as long as he can get it on goal, that's danger. A goalie can spill that out into our forwards. Like it's probably where he is his most dangerous. So it is interesting that this is the choice that Inzaghi has made for him. And I wonder, I think the real question is this going to carry over into next season? Because he's going to need to work on that crossing. But either way, you know, good performance from him today. And guess who played the ball to him? Officially an assist.
Bisek?
Stefano Sensi.
Was he really?
Yes. Stefano Sensi, who we both went under in terms of appearances for the rest of the season, comes on and gets an assist. Yeah, good for him. He's got something to write home about this season. Not much else, but we move. In the 80th minute, Lautaro Martinez, first goal since February. Wild.
Yeah.
A wild thing to say for the capocannoniere, likely capocannoniere of the season. It's a really wild thing to say, but he finally gets a goal. There's a cross from Cuadrado. Frosinone fails to clear. Right to Lautaro, who just quickly shifts to just gains possession, really quickly shifts to his left foot and puts it in. That's 24 goals for Lautaro on the year. How much of a monkey do you think that is off of his back?
Dude, that's huge. I mean, and even when the announcer said that it had been since late February that he hadn't scored, I didn't even believe it myself. And the fact that he's gone 2.5 months-ish, really, since scoring, and he still is the leader. Whew. that just shows like how torrid of a start he was on, and it's a shame that he just wasn't able to finish. I'm not saying exactly as strong, but close to it, you know. I really thought that he had an outside chance of breaking the record for most goals in a season. I was obviously, you know, rooting for him as an Interisti. But all that to say, it doesn't take away from the season that he has had, and I'm very happy with the performance overall from him.
Yeah, he also picked up an assist a few minutes later in the 84th minute. Lautaro blocks a pass from Frosinone. It goes straight to Thuram, who from the halfway line essentially just takes it up the pitch, ends up going one-on-one with Cerofolini before he chips him. A beautiful finish, a finish that a good striker has in their locker. So it was really good to see Marcus get on the score sheet. Were you nervous when he had that breakaway? Because we've seen him have easy breakaways before that he hasn't been able to put away. Impressed with that finish?
Definitely a little nervous for sure. You know, you look at like his finishing, like you said, not been the best all season. Definitely still think that he's had a good season. Not, you know, we've just have been hoping that things would, you know, definitely take a step forward with his ability to score. But this one was very calm, very cool, collected, of course, you know, all the cliche things you could say about it. And to be able to chip the goalkeeper, very good. You know, he had every opportunity to allow his defender to gain on him. And I think that he was just able to keep everything in check to be able to finish that strongly. And I'm very happy with the way that ended there.
And the game ends. Frosinone Inter finishes 5-0. That's the game. Inter with 59% possession, 5 goals on 1.82 XG. A really, really...
That's insane.
Yeah. A really great performance. So let's talk about some of these performances. Your man of the match for tonight.
Our good friend Tony's going to appreciate this because I'm finally giving his boy his flowers. After riding his back and saying I didn't think he was good enough to start for this club, man of the match, Davide Fratesi, goal, assist. Some of the best passing I've seen him actually have, which is one thing that I was really hoping to see improve with him. I thought that he was very calm as well. He had a few dribbles that I didn't even know he had in his locker. You know, he had one where he dragged it back and pushed it around to beat. It might have been Brescianini on the. It would have been, I guess, our left side in the second half. That I was very, very pleased with his movement there. So yeah, hats off to him for making me, I guess, eat crow.
31 out of 35 for 89% passing for Fratesi. So that's a significant improvement. That's what you want to see.
The number is low, but yes.
The number is low. Yep. But
yes, improvement nonetheless.
We talked about this last time through where I don't think he does well with Mkhitaryan as the other midfielder because they're both sort of like...
Interesting.
Not box to box, but they both want to drive the ball up the pitch as opposed to playing with Barella, where he can take the dropping back to be the short option for Aslani as opposed to Fratesi and really allow him to play his game. In my opinion, I think Fratesi is better with Barella because of the way that those two play.
Are you ready to have a difficult conversation?
Yeah.
We scored 5 goals. Who didn't play 1 minute?
Mkhitaryan.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
I thought Fratesi and Barella would work off of each other better.
I'm just trying to stir up controversy. You know, Mickey sympathizers, and I'm not his biggest fan. But anyway,
well, this Fratesi being on the most goal contributions he's ever had. This lineup clearly, you know, working with the two of them. In the midfield, Zielinski coming in. Obviously, Hakan would replace Aslani. There is, after this performance, there is impetus to see what Fratesi, Hakan, Barella looks like in the midfield with Barella being on the left-hand side. I thought Barella in the second half was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. As far as man of the match is concerned, I could give it to Thuram. I could give it to Fratesi. I could give it to Barella. I could give it to Sommer, but I'm going to give it to an unsung hero. Carlos Augusto, I thought, was perfect today.
Oh, I love it.
I thought defensively he was fucking phenomenal. That save off the line was incredible. Really good instincts. Yeah.
Incredible.
In the first half, I think Sule or Reiner was, you know, driving through through the box, and Carlos had a perfect tackle. I thought he was just really, really good. Like nothing about his game was concerning today. He is a good Vice Bastoni. A really good Vice Bastoni. Because he's defensively much better and he's competent going forward. Not to the level that Bastoni sees, but you know, at least from driving out of the left hand side of the three and being an option offensively. But he's really good. Sad that he wasn't able to get that call up to Brazil today. Did you see that squad?
Yeah, not good. Not good at all.
The midfield is entirely players that play at mid-table EPL clubs. It was disgusting.
Although I am a fan of Guimarães.
Yeah, good player.
But yeah, not a good team. Not a good team there. I'd feel a little slighted if I was Carlos Augusto, but hey, you know what? Better for us, really.
Bissek comes into the team. First half, tried to play some passes that didn't work. Looked much better in the second half, which is impressive considering how unhelpful Cuadrado is on his side. What did you think of the 90 minutes out of the German international, or young international, I guess?
I mean, I love him too. I really wished he would have scored that curler outside the box with his left foot. Beautiful strike. I honestly thought it was going in, to be quite honest. I was very impressed with his attempt there. Yeah, it's a shame that it didn't happen that way. But no. Jan Bissek, Beckenbauer, whatever you want to call him, was phenomenal today. He's a guy that I think deserves a lot more time on the pitch, to be quite honest. I think that he brings so much to this team defensively going forward. He's tall. He's great on set pieces. I think that, you know, although he didn't score today, I think that that is something that we'll be able to develop with him and eventually turn into a goal for sure. You know, like that, I don't think that'll be an issue in the future. Man, I'm glad we have him, you know.
This is going to sound stupid, but I kind of feel like Bissek would be our most productive right wing back if they put him out there.
Wow.
Like him and Pavard, he's very comfortable on the line.
Wow.
Very comfortable on the line. And would move past players. He drives the ball, like we saw on multiple occasions. He drives the ball into the pitch. He's happy coming inside. I think he's better technically than Dumfries.
Without a question.
I don't know what his crossing would look like. I know it's a crazy thing to say, but I'm just saying, if you had Bissek and Pavard both working off of each other on the right-hand side of the pitch, I think it would be able to produce some results. Like, they could literally switch with each other constantly. Pavard has played right wing back in his career. I'm just saying crazy shit because we won the title and we have nothing.
It sounds like you are, man. Are you feeling okay over there?
I'm feeling all right.
You hit your head?
Not today, but at some point in the future, I'm sure I will. Klaassen gets minutes. Sensi gets minutes. Anyone else that you want to talk about? Give a little extra praise to. De Vrij was good.
Yeah, De Vrij was good. I'm trying to think. Is there anybody that like we didn't mention that I think deserves a little bit more? And nothing's really coming to mind. I'm happy with everyone. I mean, we already gave enough praise to Jan Sommer. We kind of went over him. Thought he was phenomenal. We went over Bissek. Augusto was a good shout for man of the match. That goal line clearance, and even to the way he was able to deflect that was chef's kiss. I'm good.
Who needs? All right, that wraps up Frosinone. Now let's get into some of the other things going on. Before we do that, who needs to play against Lazio? Obviously, that's a real team, and they're also coming to the San Siro. So what is your expectation from a lineup standpoint? I have a feeling we're going to see the strongest starting 11.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't think that they're going to cut any corners or, you know, let guys run out there who probably shouldn't. I think that their main thing will be to just continue to go after as many points as possible and eventually, you know, just try to eclipse that 97 points. So I don't see, as much as we want to see certain guys be rotated in, I think it's going to go, you know, our typical strongest 11. You know, we'll see Pavard, Acerbi, and Bastoni in the back. All three of them were able to rest today, which was really nice to see for sure. And then we'll get, I'm guessing he'll go Dumfries, Di Marco on the wingbacks, our typical midfield three, and our typical strike partnership. So
I could see Arnautovic starting that game, but I do think it's going to be our strongest. I do think it's going to be our strongest.
He's gone crazy, folks.
I think, I don't know, because if Inzaghi is of the mind that Arnautovic should be the fourth forward, then maybe he wants to play him to like have some positive discussion around him before the Calcio Mercato really heats up. But we'll see how that plays out. All right. I've been putting out these threads. So basically, the genesis of this really came from like things getting crazy at work, not really able to be on Twitter and interact with you guys throughout the day. So I started thinking, why don't I just, because I'm doing this anyway, I'm looking at the Inter news when I get home. Why don't I just go through the news and then put it all in a thread and do quick comments on it? So since we are here, let's comment on a few things that are upcoming in today's daily Interverse thread. First things up, Barella is in line to become the highest paid Italian in Serie A with 7 million plus bonuses. Thoughts on this extension being close to going over the line here?
Well, he's the best player in the team. No, I mean, listen, I think it's deserved.
That's true. That's true.
I think people would disagree and make cases for other guys, and I would be more than happy to hear those out, to be quite honest. I don't think that I'm trying not to let my bias interfere or take, I guess, too much control of this, but I mean, yeah, when you really like try to break it down, is there really anyone truly that's better than him? I don't think so.
I don't think that there's anyone. Like, if you sold Lautaro tomorrow, I think you can find a player who can grow into that spot. I don't think you can replace Barella. I don't think Zielinski is there. I don't think Mkhitaryan can do it. I don't think Fratesi can do it. If you bought Khéphren Thuram, you know, maybe one day he's going to grow into a player like Barella, but I don't even think that that's the case.
Yeah, different profiles, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think Barella is replaceable on any team in the world.
Yeah, I mean, look at what he does, you know? Like, what is it that he does that any other midfielder can do? I'm talking about as a whole. You could find better passers. You could find better long ball players. You could find guys with maybe a little bit more pace, a little bit more calmness under pressure, perhaps. But can you find people who have this level of total package?
No,
I can't think of anyone. I've really tried.
We've talked about this. Like, I think Cruz and Camavinga could bring to the team what Barella brings to the team, but those are not attainable players. So I don't think there's anyone out there that can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually like those shouts. I'm a big Camavinga fan. He's probably one of my, I'm actually waiting for some of his cards to arrive, cause I ordered a couple of rookies of his, but
you're a big Cruz fan too. You appreciate a German Tony Cruz. Dog too. Yeah,
I love Toni Kroos. Yeah, my two favorite German players are And this isn't because of I'm not trying to like disrespect like Lothar Matthaus or anything. I never saw him play. You know, I mean, yeah. I could see clips in some Klinsmann. Games.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like I've never seen those guys, you know, actually play. For me, you know, Marco Reus and Toni Kroos are my two favorite Germans. Hold on. Oh, forgetting Ozil. So those three are probably like my three favorite. Yep. Peak Ozil was for the fact that we almost signed him after the treble. Can you imagine that midfield?
I don't think he would have been able to handle Milan given his exploits elsewhere.
You don't think so? I thought he did. I thought he handled Madrid fine, and I think that's a bigger club.
I meant like he enjoyed the off the field activities, that's for sure.
Sure. But I don't listen, if you perform like that for me, you could have fun. I don't care. I didn't care what what's his name was doing, Nainggolan. But I mean, then when he wasn't performing, then I did care. But anyway,
yeah, then when you saw him smoking cigarettes at the
well, no, Brozovic did that too, so it didn't bother me. Yeah, but anyway,
he was doing a job. It's a different story.
All right.
Bento, 60 million release clause officially expires. No one was going to be paying that for him anyway, unless a Premier League team was. But it's good that's at least out of the way. It seems like the conversation's around 20. But I think one of the interesting things from the news story is that Julio Cesar is an official advisor for Bento. So for me, it's like in the same way that Milito played a role in getting Lautaro to Inter, you know, an heir to Milito, essentially. Hopefully we're talking about Inter keepers that we've seen. Hopefully Julio Cesar can do a job and bring us our keeper for the next 10 years.
Bro, if Julio Cesar does that, man.
He shoots. Oh, he's already top of your list.
Yeah, but he shoots to the top of the best goalkeepers of all time.
I agree. That's a hell of a career to get into after football. Just bring your old club, all the Brazilians that we can afford. Talent.
Yes. Yeah. All the talent that we could actually afford at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next weekend, or not next weekend, a little after next weekend, May 20th. That is the date for the expiry of the Oaktree loan. News came out today that it is PIMCO that's going to be replacing Oaktree. Another American fund. Don't know anything about their, you know, there was a lot of shit that came out of Oaktree that didn't help the media conversation. We've talked about this, but, you know, that's just something coming up.
You know, they say PIMCO ain't easy.
PIMCO ain't easy, but somehow Jang secured them. Somehow Jang got it done. That dog.
Stevie Z does it again, man.
Stevie the Rebel. Either way, we are going to need some funds this summer. One of the prime candidates to be sold, an asset for us to be sold with a contract renewal not going his way. Looks like discussions are down in crunch time right now. Denzel Dumfries, contract up in 2025. The new reports are coming out that Inter would take a 20 million offer for him. I thought this felt a little low considering the clubs that are interested, which are, you know, a Premier League team at least. You'd like to squeeze them for every dollar that they have, and hopefully there's competition, and hopefully he performs at the Euros. But I wouldn't turn down 20 million. Would you be disappointed if that was the figure?
No.
We signed him for 13? So it's a small
12 or 13.
Yeah, it's a small
something like that. But I wouldn't be upset, and the only reason I'm saying that is because we see the player he is. Very limited. Anyone who pays more than that or offers more than that, I mean, you take him. You rob them. You rob them in the night, and you run with that money. And then you accept whatever punishment Lega Calcio wants to hand down for that robbery, because he ain't worth more than. To me, he ain't worth more than 15, to be quite honest. In terms of ability and what he could bring to a club, I don't think he's really worth more than that. And when we bought him, you hoped that he would have made some kind of leaps in growth and improvement in his game, but that really hasn't come.
I think he got slightly better. Slightly better.
And that's why it's going from 12 to 20, not like 12 to 35, 40. You know, like there's, he's a very limited player. He doesn't really bring much else. So I'm okay.
The crazy thing is, like, the performances for the national team, like, if he did that with Inter, we'd be talking about a $50 million player. $50 million player.
Easily. But he just doesn't seem to want to do that for us for whatever reason. And, hey, man, knock yourself out then. You know, like, good luck with whatever plans you got in the future, whatever future endeavors you want to take, and enjoy your time in Joliet.
Two recent names that have come up as potential replacements, Emil Holm at Atalanta and Sugawara at, I believe,
yes, sir.
PSV or Feyenoord or Alkmaar.
Yes, sir.
Who do you take? Who do you take out of those two?
Sugawara, baby. The guy can shoot. The guy can cross. The guy can defend. The guy has pace. He gets his more
kick.
Yes, he can take free kicks. The guy gets more coverage in Asia. So I think you bring in a Japanese player. What does that also bring? Japanese dollars, bro. More money in the club's pocket in terms of sponsorships, potentially. It's a no-brainer.
The Otani effect coming to Milano.
Bring the Otani. Next thing you know, we find out, guess what? Sugawara's betting with Otani on the side, and now he gets suspended.
No, anyway. Don't pull up.
I actually do like Sugawara. I think that he could be a good player for us, and I actually do think that this guy would actually be able to do everything that we had hoped Denzel Dumfries would be able to do.
23 years old.
Mm.
From Alkmaar. I'm trying to see who else his agency reps, because sometimes there's some overlap in terms of who we've dealt with in the past. Looks like his agency also reps Cruz. Look at that.
So we're getting Sugawara and Toni Kroos? Yes, wild.
Timo though. Werner, Noah Okafor, Niklas Süle, Pavlidis, Varela. So we haven't done deals with any of these players, so I guess it would be a new transaction. But all right, let's see how that goes. Guess who's back? Marseille knocked out of the Europa League yesterday.
I thought this was going to be a fun episode.
Unfortunately, we've got to touch on it. Joaquin Correa is headed back to Inter. Marseille, there's only 4 games left in the in Ligue 1, and they're far behind that that fourth place. So he's coming back. I think the question here, the outlay for him was tremendous. What we're going to be able to get for him is not going to be anywhere near that. So considering that, are there any other players that you would put in the same sentence as in terms of like biggest busts in your time watching Inter than Joaquin Correa?
João Mario.
Big bust. Gabigol?
I don't want to put Gabigol there because I think he didn't get a fair shake. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, by all accounts, yes, he is a bust. Like, I mean, I wish he would have gotten more time at the club for sure, but it just wasn't going to happen. Didn't know he was going to be a thing for us. And he was a bust, sadly. So
Quaresma?
Ooh, yes, Quaresma. That guy was a bust everywhere he went, though. Like every big club he went to.
His highlight reel would have you thinking he was the best player of all time.
His YouTube compilation had me thinking that we were gonna have the greatest player in the history of football, to be honest. So yeah, when that didn't shake out either, I mean, you know, they talk about it because of Quaresma, Mancini, and Muntari all flopping, and those were players hand-selected by Mourinho. He was no longer allowed to request players.
Bring in players.
So, yeah, that's kind of funny. That's how that played out. But
Jovetic? Ljajic?
You can't put those guys. Those were loans. You can't put
they
loans
were low,
as busts.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, then you could say Podolski was a bust, you know.
Yeah.
To me, Shaqiri wasn't a bust, and I'll say only because he got 6 months. That was essentially a glorified loan. That was a very expensive loan that we made.
Can you believe Podolski, Shaqiri, These were all players on the same team for Inter.
And we still didn't finish top four.
And we still couldn't get out of Banterra. Oh, crazy. Who would you rather have back at the club, Joaquin Correa or João Mario today?
Today, João Mario.
I agree.
Today. It's not even a question.
He at least.
He played, look at what he's doing for Benfica. Something. You know, like for us.
I think he's like their top goal scorer. Or at least last year he was.
And that's crazy to hear. You know, like that's literally insane.
Yeah. Yep. And then we talked about Augusto being left off the national team roster. So, all right. Anything else you wanted to get into today?
I think we're just going to do another giveaway.
Okay.
I got some cards in that I want to give away. I got these two. They're called Pink Shimmers, a Marcus Thuram and a Federico Di Marco. I mean,
look at those, bro.
And then I'm going to give away this numbered. It's called a Pink Mojo, Alessandro Bastoni, number to 275. And I'm going to throw in, even though he never played for Inter, but he's one of my favorite players, and I got multiple ones when I bought into what's called a break, where you get all the cards from one specific team. So I bought all the Italy cards for the upcoming Euro card set that came out. And it's a Francesco Totti card I'm going to throw in there.
Wow, that is huge.
So you get Marcus Thuram, Federico Di Marco, a numbered Bastoni, which, listen, if you win this and you like collecting, you actually like collecting cards and you like grading cards, I was going to grade this Bastoni, and I think it would come out at least a 9. So I would recommend grading this Bastoni if you get it, if you're into it. If not, no, obviously don't do it.
If it's something does everyone have to do to get those cards?
Ooh, what should we do?
Let's do something for the pod, man. Let's bump that follower count up.
How could we do that, though?
I guess retweets, like everyone that retweets something.
But I feel like when we do the retweet stuff, like nobody, like, not that nobody, but like, not that nobody's into it. It's just, I don't know what the best course to help.
I think it's a little too shameless self-promotion.
No, I don't care about shameless self-promotion. I mean, everything that comes out of my mouth on Twitter is shameless self-promotion, really. So,
why don't we do, there's only two games left. Why don't we do whoever correctly predicts Lautaro's final goal tally for the year. And if there's people that the same number,
so that I wanted we'll do to do random. That I wanted to do for this, the Lautaro Martinez gold card I have, that's numbered to 25. There's only 25 of these people. 25 in the world. Like, think about that. Think about how many cards are printed. There's only 25 of these. And that was going to
What about commenting the correct score of Lazio Inter?
Commenting the correct score for Lazio Inter gets you the Bastoni, Thuram, Di Marco, Totti lot. So yeah, comment when we upload this podcast, or when you see this uploaded, this episode, go back to it. Obviously, we upload it at the same time. So comment on it, what you think the score of the Inter-Lazio game is going to be, the correct score, even if you think we're going to lose. No one's going to be upset. Obviously, I don't think you're going to pick Inter to lose, but if you pick it right, it gets you the cards, no questions asked. And then if there's a tie break, you know what, Alessandro, I think you know what we should do if there's a tie?
What?
We should host a quick little space and do like a little fire round Inter trivia thing. We ask a question, first one to shout the answer gets it right.
Boom. Can I tell you something?
Win. What?
I fucking love that idea.
Right? I think it's a cool idea.
I love that. I love just that.
Engage a little bit with fans, maybe have like a little fireside chat. Like after that's done, we could like talk to listeners if they want.
I love that. Now I want to like, now I'm like, I want to set up like a immaculate
kind of want
Inter
style. I kind of want a tie. I kind of want a tie now. But anyway,
that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm in with that.
All right, time to call it.
Time to call it.
All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.